Isaiah 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Luke 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" asked Mary, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. She who was said to be unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of the husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you, and welcome again, everyone. Tonight is a celebration of light amidst the darkness. I wonder, are you in need of more light in your life? Do you need more hope, more joy, a greater sense of peace and purpose? If the answer is yes, I want to encourage you to listen, because we're going to see how light can come even into the very darkest of situations in our lives. You know, this has been a dark year. 2020 has been pretty crazy. I remember watching the news back in January and seeing the extraordinary pictures of the city of Wuhan under complete lockdown as China tried to stop the spread of this terrible virus. I remember turning to my wife, Laura, and saying, "Can you imagine if that happened here?" Never believing that it would, not realizing that already the virus was spreading and that Brighton and London would soon look like this. I remember the fear that caught hold of us as we wondered if those we loved would get ill, as the nation locked down and as many lost their jobs, and we waited. And in many ways, we're still waiting, aren't we? But hope is stirring. You know, as the vaccine is starting to be rolled out, people are wondering, is this the light at the end of the tunnel that we've been waiting for? Waiting's hard. Do you find waiting hard? I do. You know, the very first Christmas comes amidst a difficult time of waiting. God's people had been waiting not just a few months, but years upon years of waiting in the dark. And maybe you feel a bit like that at the moment. It's just like you're waiting in the dark. What were they waiting for? Well, they're waiting for the continuation of a story, a bit like my son each week is waiting for the next episode of the Star Wars series, Mandalorian. They're waiting, but the difference with this story is that it's real, and they are in it, and amazingly, we're going to see we are in it too. This true story is vital because it helps us understand this world we live in, why there is such darkness and brokenness, but also where there is hope. You know, just like the films that we love to watch at Christmas have trailers and glimpses of what's to come, in the Bible, God's people get glimpses of what's to come. God gives prophecies that are like trailers about this one who would come and bring light to people and deal with injustice and oppression, one who would heal and forgive and would restore people back to God. And so they would have prayed those words that we sang earlier, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. They would have prayed, come God, come and finish our story. And finally, after years of waiting, Jesus comes claiming to be the light of the world. And he seems to match all the trailers that have been written about him hundreds of years before his birth. And yet it's all rather surprising. As this king comes in poverty and mystery, but the rumors start to spread. Could this be the one? And to be honest, a bit like with the COVID vaccine, people really aren't sure. Is this Jesus safe? Is he going to be available for me? Is he really the answer? Maybe you've got questions like that about Jesus. You know, tonight I want us to see how Jesus is the one who can really make sense of our lives and how he can actually bring us into a whole new story. Two things we need for that to happen. The first is we need to find the light. I wonder, have you ever tried walking in darkness? You know, kind of hands out in front of you, kind of inching your way, perhaps through your bedroom. Walking in the dark is not easy. and it's not safe. We probably all know how painful it is to stub your toe in the dark. It's agony. I remember one party my son was invited to where they did bushcraft skills. And one of the experiments they did was to blindfold the kids and ask them to walk in a straight line across a field. This could be a great Christmas game to play. What's interesting is that none of them could do it. In fact, what happened is that they all started to walk in circles. Why? Well, it's because they had no light. And the instructor explained to us that this is why people so often get lost in forests, because they can't see the sun and they can't navigate. And when they just use their instinct, they think they're walking in a straight line, but usually they're just walking in circles. And for many of us, life can be like that. We can think we're walking in a straight line, and then we discover maybe after many years we've actually been walking in the dark, kind of walking in circles. We experience the darkness of not knowing who we are, of what we're made for, of where we're going. Do you know what you're made for? Or do you feel lost? The instructor taught us that if you're lost, you need to find the sun. And if you know what time it is, you can then navigate your way, because the sun never moves. It's actually us who moves. We orbit around the sun. We always discover where to go in relation to the sun, the brightest light in our solar system. So when Jesus comes and says, "I'm the light of the world," he's saying that if you want direction, if you want to know where you are and where you're going, you need to look at him. You know, just as the sun brings life and warmth and growth and direction, so does Jesus, but even more so. Why? Well, it's because of who Jesus is and what he's done. He is Emmanuel. This is the God who made us come to earth to be with us. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. How do you know if Jesus really is this light? It is a big claim. You know, if you have questions about that, I'd encourage you to come along to one of our Alpha Tasters. Alpha is an opportunity to explore the meaning of life. We've got two tasters, one on the 21st and one on the 28th of December. The details are on the screen. But the best way to test a light is to see what you can see from the light, how much you can see with it. I did that with a bike light the other day and realized I couldn't see hardly anything and I needed to get a new one. So with Jesus, what do we see? Well, this is challenging because Jesus's light is so bright that we end up seeing far more than actually we might want to. We finally see who we really are. It reveals not just the surface of things. His light penetrates right under your skin. It can and does see everything right into our hearts. And that can be scary. In fact, the Pharisees, the religious people of the time, they hated Jesus because he could see through the facade of their goodness. You know, we all experience a lot of pressure to kind of put up a facade, a kind of image, especially at Christmas. Nice lights, the tree, the meal, we smile. But the reality can be so different. The darkness is there, and the statistics tell us so, that Christmas, far from being the season of peace, is the season of increased domestic violence, divorce, debt, and homelessness. Many of the problems that we're talking about associated with COVID, like isolation, inequality, mental health problems, even climate change, they were already there before the pandemic. COVID has just brought them to light. And Jesus tells us why they're there. He says in Mark chapter 7, there's a deeper problem, a problem of darkness that goes to the heart of every one of us. And at this point, many people say, "Well, thank you very much. I don't want to know about that. I don't want my heart exposed." There's lots of people who basically say, "Well, everyone is essentially good. I'm good. I'm okay." And it's true, there is much good in people, but there is also much darkness. I love the John Lewis advert this year about passing on love to one another. It's a great message. But it doesn't deal with the problem that we also pass on darkness to one another. You know, sin, this darkness, can be a bit like COVID. Sometimes you can have it and not even realize it or see the effect in your life, but you pass it on and you hurt others around you. You might think, well, why does Jesus want to expose that? Well, it's for the same reason the surgeon needs a light, the same reason the electrician gets his torch out. It's to fix things and bring healing. Martin Luther King Jr. famously said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And that is why Jesus comes. Amazingly, Jesus doesn't just expose our darkness and say, look, try walking in a different direction. That's what most religions do, but not Jesus. No, Jesus comes. He comes to us. That's what Christmas is all about. He comes and he enters our darkness. He comes and experiences poverty and the agony of injustice of the world. And then on the cross, he faces our greatest darkness, the heart of darkness, the darkness of separation with God. Jesus literally steps down into darkness. He comes and stands in our lost place. He enters our story so that we can enter his story, so that we can be forgiven and get a stand in his place. Now, Jordan Peterson said this. He said, if light shines in the darkest places, then you know it's the real light. This light of Jesus doesn't just shine in the darkness place. He ushers in a whole new dawn of resurrection life. This is good news. That's why sinners flocked to Jesus. Not because he said darkness doesn't matter, but because he says, come to me. Come to me with all your darkness and I will still welcome you. I will still forgive you. I will bring light and restore your relationship with God. The relationship you were made for. There is just one thing you need to do. And this is where we're ending, with this one thing that we all need to do. Follow the light. Jesus says, those who follow me will never walk in darkness. This is so important. Many Christmas messages simply declare that Jesus is the light, but fail to mention the if you follow part. It's no good if you just see the light, but it stays at a distance and you don't follow it. You know, some people only ever come and see the light. They perhaps see it at Christmas or they see it at Easter, but they never have the joy of the light of life being always with them. This Christmas could be the Christmas that changes for you. You know, one of the sad moments I find in January is when all these beautiful lights come down. It's like it's over, kind of back to darkness. But with Jesus, the lights stay up. Because he's the light of the world. Because if you walk closely with Jesus, you have the light of the world with you at all times, even in the darkest moments. We're going to be doing a whole new series on Sunday mornings about what it means to walk with God, this light. We need light because life is hard. Nietzsche said, if you have a why, you can bear anyhow. You know, in Jesus, we finally discover the why. We discover we were made to know God and be part of his kingdom work of bringing hope to people who are in darkness. This Christmas, that hope is not dependent on whether we can meet with normal as our families, or whether our job is secure or our finances are sorted. It's dependent on whose story we're living. Jesus invites us to join his story of victory over sin and death, of hope in the face of despair, of light in the darkness. Do you know there are moments in life when we receive invitations and we can decide whether to accept or not? This is one of those moments. Jesus, the light of the world, is inviting you to come near, inviting you to follow him, inviting you to exchange your darkness for his light. And if you want to, you can make that decision. You can say yes to that invitation, even right now, by joining me in this prayer. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the light of the world. Thank you that you welcome me even with all my darkness. Thank you that you came into my story so that I could enter your story of light. Thank you that you died for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. I choose to follow you. Please come into my life by the power of your Spirit and make your light shine in me. For I ask this in your name. Amen.